It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with episode 24, season 2 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. We got basketball galore. Some makeup games from the week before when it was a little snowy, and you know, just a lot of basketball going on. It's heating up now. Conference play in full swing. Everybody's just going all over the place and running us crazy.
there's places all over the place.
Yeah, they are. But you know, before we get started with that episode 24, guys, who's your favorite 24?
Well, my personal favorite's on here, and y'all are probably surprised that he is. Mark Aguirre played one of the best college basketball players of all time when back home, when we finally got cable, by the, you know, when was probably I was a junior or senior in high school, the DePaul Blue Demons were rolling. Mm-hmm. They had an undefeated season, and I became – DePaul became my second favorite college team, you know, next to Marshall. And really loved Mark Aguirre, Ray Meyer. Now, Jody Meyer ended up ruining DePaul.
That's right.
But and DePaul's been trying to recover from Jody Meyer ever since. But
ironically, Aguirre wasn't number 24 when he played at DePaul
either. No, he was in the NBA.
We would have talked about him last week.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yep.
Go ahead. I was just going to say that brings us to another one on the list here that we'll talk about next week again, too. Barry Bonds.
That's exactly right. He was 24 with the Bucks.
Wore 24 for the Pirates, only like 4 years. Everybody's going to know him as 25.
Right. But Bobby Bonilla wore 25.
And he's still getting paid for it.
Yeah. So Bonds couldn't have 25. He wore 24.
But, yeah, there's some. Ken Griffey Jr., you ask about favorites. He'd be my favorite 24 probably.
Yeah. Well, you know, my favorite 24, Sarah Morphew.
There you go.
You want me to go for my Razorback 24?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Charles Ballantyne.
There you go.
Game-winning shot in Pine Bluff, Arkansas against Michael Jordan's number one Tar Heels.
Yep. Sure was. I still remember it. Know right where I was.
Well, you know, Miguel Cabrera, he was 24, and he probably one of the funniest baseball players. Always cutting up, you know, on the field and always cutting up with, you know, he'd go over and catch a foul ball and he'd eat popcorn out of a fan's popcorn bag, things like it. I as a baseball player, I'm indifferent about him, but as just a fan, I really liked McWell.
Speaking of funny baseball players that couldn't play baseball,
hold on one second before you change the subject.
Okay.
You got to mention Kobe. I mean, we got to get Kobe out there on the list.
Yeah.
I figured you was going to say we got to mention Tony Perez.
Well, I mean, Kobe's going to be one of the all-time greats.
He is.
So, just before you change the subject, we had to throw him out. Well, he's another one.
Mays as well.
Willie Mays is an all-time great. Lou Brock's an all-time great. Yeah. These guys are, I mean, there's a lot of good guys here that we didn't talk about.
But I know where you were headed, and we definitely have to touch on that one.
Yeah, and just we lost you know, I would consider him as a sports fan a national treasure.
I agree.
Bob Uecker, passed away this past week, and you know, as a baseball player, let's just be honest, he sucked.
He would own that.
Yeah, he would.
He made a career of it. He did.
Yeah, he did. But you know, the thing about it is, I was reading a story. He was just so funny.
Yes.
The things he did, you know, and one of the story, and I maybe shouldn't tell this, but I'm going to anyway. So Dick Allen sitting beside him, and if you remember Dick Allen. He was like broody and you know, didn't
nobody
say
liked
anything.
Him.
No, but they were big buddies.
Yeah.
You know, and so he was sitting by him on a plane flight, and then he told the stewardess he was getting sick, needed a bag, so he got the sick. Well, so nobody could see it but Dick Allen. He poured a bunch of clam chowder in there. And the next time she came by, he asked for a spoon. And you can imagine what happened then.
Well,
and you know, I mean, he was just always pulling something. But, you know, I'm going to tell you, all the Bob Uecker stuff, just a bit outside.
And that's where most
of the major league movies have been what they were without Bob Uecker. I don't think so.
No.
And, you know, I was serious, you know. I can listen to any baseball game I want in the car. And a lot of them I just pass by. But if the Bucks aren't playing, I'll sit and listen to the Brewers if Bob Uecker's calling the game.
Yeah, yep.
For anybody listening to us right now, if you've never seen Bob Uecker on Johnny Carson,
oh yeah,
search out some of those clips because some of the stories he tells.
He told one day that he won Minor League Player of the Year once, and it was his third year in the big leagues.
Oh man, yeah.
You think about the light beer commercials. Yeah. I must be in the front row. Yeah. They'd set him up at the top.
Yeah, that's right. You know, he's like I said. If you're a sports fan, he's just a national treasure, and he's going to be missed. But you know, I mean, we're going to miss him.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. That was sad to hear that.
Yep. It is, but we move on. Leopards busy week last week. They had a makeup game because of the snow the previous week. Leopards now 7-11. They had lost three losses last week. Tony,
very good basketball teams. You know, Camden Fairview. Coach Jackson's one of our favorite coaches to watch on the bench at the Coliseum. We get a ringside seat, and Camden Fairview. Very athletic, very good. Arkadelphia, not quite as good as Fairview, but a good basketball team. And, of course, Nashville's a good basketball team, too. So it was a tough week for the Leopards.
Yep.
Caden Lindley had a good week.
He did have a good week. And you know, when you look at two of those three games, the game against Camden Fairview Tuesday night, I kind of felt like they were in control the whole time, even though it wasn't a big deal. And then all of a sudden, at the beginning of the fourth quarter, it's like, go get them.
Well, we had cut the lead in the third quarter to 30-24.
Uh-huh.
And he called a 30-second timeout, and they immediately scored 7 points in about 25 seconds, including a couple of dunks.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like they turned on a switch.
Yep, and just – run it out to almost the mercy rule.
Right.
Which, you know, that's one reason we like Coach Jackson so much.
Yeah.
You don't see him do the mercy rule.
No.
He'll keep it from it where you get to play the whole game.
And he plays everybody.
Yeah, he does.
He plays everybody.
He does. We appreciate that. You know, went over to Nashville, a game that, you know, I really thought the boys looked like they could win.
Yeah.
You know, and then same way with Arkadelphia. I mean, we were playing with Arkadelphia. Both those games were winnable games for us.
Yes.
And you know, just going to have to get on the track and start winning some ball games for the Leopards.
We got to eliminate the 4 or 5 minute spurt where we get no points.
That's right.
And those have kind of haunted us all year, and they haunted us in those two games.
Yeah. Yep, that's right. And Lady Leopards, good week for them. 2-1. We said last week if we went 2-1, we'd be happy. I'm not.
I think I was the one that said that.
Yeah, I know. I know you were. I know who said it. But I'm going to tell you. We talked about this, and we can talk about the other two games if you want to. I think one of the things that when you look at Arkadelphia, that game, I think we bounced back from the loss against Nashville really well.
Yeah.
I think
we jumped on them.
Yeah, we jumped on them right off the bat. It was really never a game.
No.
It really wasn't. And
we had it out to 28.
Yeah.
We did some substituting. They cut the final score to 22, but it wasn't that close.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And so, I mean, I think we came back okay. Nashville game, I mean, you can look, you know – let's just be honest. I think Burgess probably it was announced that he was going to be the coach at DeQueen on April 30th last year. Since that point, that day, both teams have pointed to that game.
Yes.
Big game. The crowd was amazing.
It was.
It was amazing. I mean, it was as full as any game I've ever seen. I'm talking about regional games.
Yeah, it was. I had to get there late because I was on a mission from God. And I had to park. I mean, yeah. I had to park past the football field.
Yeah,
and it was a great atmosphere. And congratulations to the Scrapperettes as they played really well. They probably more of their team has played in those type of games. One, I think, because of scheduling. Two, because of their six couple of years. Mm-hmm. And I really think that came to light in the fourth quarter.
Well, yeah, and I think one of the things, you know, we talked about a couple of things at halftime. We talked about the foul situation. We also talked about the shooting percentages. You know, both teams shot relatively low for them in the first half, and there were several players on the Scrapperettes that had three fouls. You know, and so we thought if that, those things, you know, depending on how those things
we
went, was
get
one
the rest
of the things.
Them in foul trouble. No, we couldn't finish it out.
No, we never got them in foul trouble, and they're the ones that picked up their shooting percentage, and that was the difference in the
Caroline
ball.
Caroline Dean was unconscious.
Can I offer that outsider looking in?
Sure,
real quick. Not only do y'all have a big crowd there. People at the Umpire Junior Tournament, myself included, were watching it on their phones on Leopard TV. And then when we left there, I got to listen to y'all. And y'all done a good job calling it. You mentioned, I didn't know her first name. I was just going to say Miss Dean, but Caroline Dean.
Yeah.
Free throws down the stretch, and she made a lot of them. Made this score what it is. I mean, it wasn't.
Six or six of eight or eight, something like that.
Well, according to you, it was six of six. Her grandmother corrected you on Facebook. It was eight of eight. she was unconscious in the second half. You know, we went for a while. She had 16 points at halftime. Got her third foul with about 2 minutes to go in the second quarter. Coach Dean left her in.
And to her credit, handled that well.
But
it takes discipline, man.
Yeah, it does. And some other things, but that's okay. But you know, I think that the thing about it is, and one of the things that you got to realize is, as tight as our conference is going to be, you know, one of the things that I thought about after the game, I didn't think about this during the game, but you know. We ended up the way we played the last two or three minutes allowed the score to get what it was or 5 minutes. I don't know exactly the time, but you know we started. You know they started pulling the ball out. We started fouling her. She's the only one that touched the ball.
Yeah,
and she made every one of her free throws. Then we'd make mistakes or we'd shoot jack up some. You know, really quickly they'd go back and do that again, which allowed the deal to go out.
Oh, well, it was a much closer game
The final
68-53 would indicate.
Yeah, but my point is if you could one of the things you obviously want to win games. The second thing is tight as our conference is going to be, and we've talked about this before. There's five pretty good teams in our conference. One of them is going to be left out. You got to win. If you win by less than 10's the maximum difference.
Right.
Differential. So if you can get it under 10, then you're doing something, you know. And I think the way we played the last few minutes, which we wanted to win, obviously, if we had taken our time, moved the ball around and things and not just fouled immediately too, we might have kept it under 10. I'm not saying that's how you should play anyway. But I'm just saying those kind of things could be a factor as you move towards regionals later on.
Well,
on seeding, it could go from 2 to 3 or 1 to 2 or whatever. That's what I'm saying.
As they say in tennis, we held serve at home. We beat Fairview at home. We beat Arkadelphia at home. We have a shot at the Scrapperettes at home. And if you're planning on going to that game, you might want to get over the Coliseum today.
Yep.
Because it's going to be packed if the game at Scrapper Arena is any indication. But, you know, This is a really good conference, you know.
It is.
You know, we beat Fairview by 8, and I'm not looking forward to going over and playing in Intermare Place.
No.
As bad as we beat Arkadelphia, it'll be a much tougher game at their place.
Yep.
I don't think Hope is very good this year. We should beat them both places. And in Magnolia, I think Arkadelphia had beat Magnolia.
They beat them by 3.
Yeah. So Magnolia and Arkadelphia probably very similar.
The Leopards and the Lady Leopards this week have only one game because North Little Rock canceled, because instead of adding an extra game like we did, they just canceled our non-conference game and played on Tuesday when we were going to play them.
Right.
And which we could have done this Tuesday also, but doesn't work that way. And so we've got one game this week. We'll play Hope, and that game will be Friday night. So
at the Coliseum.
That's right. So got one thing left to do. We got to shelter the Insurance Woods Agency Leopard Player of the Week. Tony, who are you going with this week?
Well, in my opinion, I thought our most consistent player this week that played well in all three ball games was Landry Ligon.
Okay.
And she was our player of the game Friday night against Arkadelphia. So we're going to go with her for our Shelter Insurance Woods Agency Leopard Player of the Week.
Let's take a second to talk about DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic. DeQueen Animal Hospital at 1690 Highway 70 West, right here in DeQueen. Give them a call, 870-642-8387. And yes, vets indeed. You can schedule your appointment by calling that number, but they also do emergencies as well. So if something very pressing arrives, you can get them in, your pets in, and they can take care of them as quick as they possibly can. Also, Ashdown Veterinary Clinic at 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown, 870-898-5181. Schedule your appointment today. And you can follow both on Facebook at DeQueen Animal Hospital / Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, one of our oldest sponsors, and we appreciate them so much. And they are going to take care of your pets in any capacity. Again, like I said earlier, whether it's an emergency or something routine, just bringing your pets in, you know, it's going to be a safe place for them. It's a very enjoyable experience for you. Their front desk staff is always very nice. And Dr. Martin, excellent guy to be having looking at your pets or livestock as well. Large animals are taken care of there as well.
That's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. They're not limited to pets. They have a large animals from big to small. They cover them all.
So if you have a rhino farm like that, I'm sure he can do his absolute best to make sure that
I'd
rhino.
I'd like to see him dealing with a rhino.
Yeah.
I think that'd be pretty cool.
That would be.
I bet he could handle it.
I bet so.
I've seen him handle some pretty unruly bulls.
Yeah. So I bet he could ride a rhino. Maybe he rides one into work.
He might.
Yeah. That'd be pretty fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, Ashdown Veterinary Clinic at DeQueen Animal Hospital, whether it's just regular preventative, like, I almost said preventative maintenance. We are talking about living creatures here.
There is preventative maintenance for animals.
So, flea and tick, heartworm, and all of that stuff.
That Bob Barker thing? Spayed and neutered.
Oh, yeah. All right. I guess that flew over my head. I'm not sure, but Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, DeQueen Animal Hospital, very, very good sponsors for the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, and we appreciate them so much. Let's move on, and we have Jim Cross on the line.
Jim, good to hear from you again this week. Looking at Ashdown Panther basketball, Panthers had a good week.
Yeah, great week. The boys won both games, and the girls split. And I was really proud of the girls because Tuesday, they just had one of those nights. I don't know how many times on radio I said the ball is in and out. I mean, I've never seen them play. I don't think they played bad. They just everything that went wrong could go wrong, and they lost by 40 to Bismarck. Who going into the game, I thought it was a pretty evenly matched game. So after the game, I told the listeners, I said, well, that shows you what I know. And then the boys, I thought would be another evenly matched game between Bismarck, and we handled them with ease with 18 points. And Antonio McDuffie had a great game for the boys. And then also Kamarion Fricks really came off the bench in the third quarter and scored 8 points in the third quarter, kind of keep the Bismarck Lions at bay, and he played very well. And the big Redarius Norman, I thought he had his best game of the season in the first half, especially. Matter of fact, Coach Smith one time told him on a steal, he called him Magic Johnson. So, so he played well. And then they went to Camden, Harmony Grove, and came out with two victories. And so kind of riding high right now, especially with the boys, and got a big game against Falk tonight. And I know with the girls, we'll have our work cut out for us, but if we can kind of get them speed them up a little bit, get in a running game and maybe get things going. And Zamaria Roan had 30 points the other night against Camden Harmony Grove. And so if she can have that kind of night, you got a chance against Falk, and you got to feel like our boys will match up with them pretty well. So we'll see.
So this is a three-game week for the Panthers, Falk, and Smackover, and Prescott.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Three games. And we'll broadcast all three games, yes.
good.
Busy week for you.
Yeah, busy week for you. And also, as we air this, the one game will happen the night previous. Mm-hmm. So it'll already be played. But you know, we get in a time warp here, Jim. We can't figure out where we're at. So
we have to ask Tuttle because Tuttle's got that all figured out.
Yeah, Tuttle's got it all figured out.
Well, good. I'm kind of on time warp, too. I don't know why I can't remember 9:30.
I'm just warped.
That's the advantage, though. We get to be like, and with the big Panthers win last night.
That's right.
There you go.
There you go. So Falk tonight on or last night as we play this, and then you Tuesday you've got Smack over, and Friday you got Prescott. So a big week for the Panthers and Lady Panthers this week. Falk, good boys team, probably one you can play with there. Falk Lady Panthers, a really good girls team this year.
They're always good, and it seems like all five players are, in the past anyway, can all shoot the three. And they're gonna spread the floor on us. And to be honest, fellas, just hopefully that they have a bad shooting night. I mean, that's what you're looking for.
Yeah.
And because they're as good as anybody in the conference.
Yep. That's right. Well, looks like a busy week and a good week last week for both teams. And so, Jim, anything else you want to mention about the Panthers, Lady Panthers, before we move on to the Tom Thar Panther Player of the Week?
Well, like I say, I was really curious to see how the girls would respond. And, the play is, Coach Hubbard will tell you that's the worst game they've probably played since she's coached. Nobody's fault. It just sometimes happens. But then to come back the very next game and play a very, very good game and win pretty handily, I think that shows a lot for the senior leadership. You got Zamaria Roan, LaKenya Williams, Mackenzie Gillum, all three of those girls are seniors. Caitlin Jones also, she's a senior. So they've been through the ups and the downs, and I think that said a lot about the team, and it gives us hope for the future, and we'll see what this week holds.
All right. Well, that sounds good. So now it's time for your Dom Tar Panther Player of the Week.
Well, since I stated that Zamaria Roan had 30, I guess that would probably be a pretty good choice.
Okay. We got it, Zamaria Roan. 30 points Friday night, and she's going to be the Dom Tar Panther Player of the Week. Jim, appreciate you as always calling in and giving us all the Panther information. Busy week for you this week. Got three games on the air, and we'll be listening to you because we're not on the air till Friday night. So we'll get to you a couple of times. We don't get to do that a whole lot. So,
man, I'm gonna be nervous now.
Yeah. Tuttle's thinking we might listen to him, but he didn't say anything about being on the air. So
yeah.
We don't really know.
Derek's and Ashdown are both home, so yeah. Might be a good night for us to go somewhere
That's
and
true.
Watch a game.
That's true. We can go watch a game somewhere else. That's even better.
That's even better. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, we appreciate you, Jim, as always, and all your expertise and your analysis and just for helping us out and calling in.
Well, I wouldn't call it expertise, but I am glad to help.
With us, nobody says that either, but that's okay. We appreciate you and all you do. I mean, I guarantee you the Panthers and the Lady Panthers appreciate you too.
Yes, they do.
Well, I appreciate that. You guys have a great week.
You too.
Thank you, Jim.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. And now we're ready to talk about some Dirk's Outlaw athletics, and we're going to use the only person we can find to do it, actually. We're not
using them.
I feel so used.
But we do appreciate Jeff Tuttle coming in every week to talk about Dirk's Outlaws and all the other stuff he talks about, I think he took his chew out before he started talking about the Outlaws. So
that is yet to be determined.
So, Mom, he's okay.
Yeah.
But here we go with the Outlaws, Jeff Tuttle.
Well, the Outlaws, I've got a lot of numbers to throw at y'all this week because I've done my research.
Nice.
Actually, because I looked at the iPad last night. But the Outlaws, the boys, lost to Murfreesboro early in the week, 55-44. Good hard-fought game. you know, they were without one of their regular players again who was...
Was anybody escorted out of the
serving
gym?
A suspension? Nope, but they were on Friday night. that's a different story. But a good hard-fought game by the Outlaws. They were led against the Rattlers by Jordan Hill with 14 points, one rebound, three steals, followed by Colton Gadberry, who had 12 points, all on three-pointers to keep them within striking distance late in the game, two rebounds. And Dylan Moore had 12 points with seven rebounds and one steal for the Outlaws. But like I say, you know, they dropped the conference game to the Rattlers, and then they moved on, Mountain Pine. I've talked to the coaches a few times over the last couple of weeks in some of those close games. I said, they just need one to give them some confidence, you know, and get them over the hump. And they got that against Mountain Pine Friday night. The Outlaws won 48-43. Dylan Moore led the way, 21 points, two rebounds, one assist. He had 19 of those in the first half, you know, and then the Mountain Pine Red Devils found a way to kind of get in his face a little bit on the outside shooting in the second half. But that's where Landon Young took over in the second half down in the paint. He scored 19 points with five rebounds, one steal, and one block. Rounding things out for the Outlaws against the Red Devils, Peyton Beckman had 6 points, eight rebounds, one block, and one assist. Bryce James, five rebounds, and Colton Gadberry, seven rebounds for the Outlaws. And that kind of wraps up how the week went for the senior boys action. You know, they went 1-1, but they got them a win against Mountain Pine, second time they defeated Mountain Pine this year in conference play. Lady Outlaws, you ready for that?
Can't wait.
We're hanging on
so
it.
So fake.
Yeah. No, I'm really excited about that Lady Outlaws. Okay. Doing an excellent job.
Lady Outlaws defeated Murfreesboro 61-32. Big win, conference win, as we said. Addison Hill led the way with 19 points, six rebounds, and four steals. Hannah Kirby had a great night, especially on the offensive boards. She had 11 points, eight rebounds, five of those offensive, and she put them back for buckets. And y'all know as well as me, offensive rebounds are huge.
Yeah.
Two steals to go along with that. Aspen Pugh, 8 points and three rebounds. Miley Harrison, 7 points, two rebounds, two steals. Riley Simmons, 7 points, seven rebounds, one steal. Riley hadn't been asked to do as much on the offensive side this year. I mean, she distributes the ball, and she's the ultimate team player.
Yeah.
Raylee Walston had 5 points, four rebounds, and one steal. Lily Hogg and Gracie Thigpen had 3 points apiece, and that's in the win, 61-32 win over the Lady Rattlers.
So does is there any way Addison Hill may be graduating early and going on to college?
I told somebody.
She's just a ninth grader. I'm kidding. I know.
Listen, I told somebody the other day, you see these people posting their 1,000 points that the kids have scored and stuff. And just on my iPad, where there's going to be four or five, well, there's going to be more than that. I know of at least six tournament games that are not in that, along with a few others that we might not have went to. And her and Miley Harrison as ninth graders are the two leading scorers with 300 or just over 300, probably over 300 after these games, points. I mean, that 1,000-point mark is, I mean, you're talking about it going down early in the junior year if they stay on the pace they are.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, they're doing really well.
2,000 points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the Lady Outlaws moved on to Mountain Pine, where they took on the Mountain Pine Lady Red Devils and three officials and came out with a win.
Been there.
69-61. And I did tell somebody late in that game, I said, we're going to have to be ahead by 10 points to win this because they're going to do anything they can to keep us from it if it's a 5-point margin or so. And I'm prophetic. Did I say that right?
You did.
Yeah, you did. Nailed it.
Now, Addison Hill in that ball game had 18 points, 8 rebounds, and 1 steal. Raylee Walston, 6 points, 7 rebounds, 2 steals, 1 assist. Harrison, 6 points, Hogg, 4, Pugh, 3, Thigpen, 3, and Kirby, 2. Now, when I was talking about the Rattler game, and I said that Riley Simmons hadn't taken on the scoring role this year because she had a lot of other things to do, She put the Lady Outlaws on her back against the Lady Red Devils. Riley Simmons had 27 points, 4 rebounds, 6 steals, and 2 assists.
Wow.
Huge game for Riley Simmons.
And Riley's always done a good job. Whatever you ask her to do, she does it.
And, you know, she's, in all honesty, she's had to be the scorer the last, well, I'll go ahead and say 2 years. They moved her up her ninth grade year. She's a junior now. And then, you know, last year. And she's had to be a scorer. And I really think she's, I don't even know, she enjoys the role she has. She doesn't have to do it all. You know, she's got a lot of help around her. She doesn't have to be the primary scorer. But she realized Friday night against the Lady Red Devils, hey, somebody's going to have to do this. And she was the one.
Yep, she can do it. She's an athlete for sure. So you got this week you got all kinds of games, man.
We do have all kinds of games. They take on Cattle Hills at Derrick's tonight. If this airs Tuesday, Kirby game has been rescheduled. They travel to Kirby for ball games on Thursday, and in the big game this week, it's going to be for the Lady Outlaws, especially a rematch against Cutter Morning Star. And you know, the both Outlaw teams and the junior boys, I believe, play Cutter, and that's going to be at Derrick's on Friday night. And Cutter is one of the few losses that the Lady Outlaws have, and you know, get them on your home court and hope for a little revenge there.
Well, they've only got two, so you know, and talking about that game Friday night versus Cutter, that's going to be our DeQueen Motorsports game of the week. Dirk's Outlaws and Lady Outlaws versus the Cutter Morningstar Stars.
Cutter is not only leading the conference, they are undefeated.
Yeah.
Cutter is ranked number 2 in the state in a lot of publications, and the Lady Outlaws number 4. So y'all done a bang-up job on picking the game of the week, because it's going to be a big one. Y'all say y'all have a game Friday night?
Yeah, we do.
Well, we're going to be on the radio Friday night and tonight against Cattle. Man, I hope y'all are able to listen.
Yeah. Yep. They'll be listening.
No, I meant you and Tony.
Oh, yeah. Well, we can listen to Jim last night. We'll listen to you tonight, and then we'll do our game Friday night.
Okay.
How's that?
That works for me.
Okay.
Hey, before we wrap things up here, I still have a player of the week, too. But I want to mention the Lady Outlaw Junior Girls, Junior Lady Outlaws, and the Junior Outlaw Boys. The girls defeated Akron, and the boys defeated Foreman in the finals of the umpire junior tournament. They're both umpire tournament champions.
Nice. Congratulations.
Nice. And your Todd Moore Shelter Insurance Outlaw Player of the Week?
I have about 3 I could throw this at, probably 4. But we're going to go with Riley Simmons. You know, she was the reason we got to win against Mountain Pine. So, you know, without her, they probably don't pull that one off.
Awesome. Congratulations, Riley Simmons.
There you go. Riley Simmons is our Todd Moore Shelter Insurance Outlaw Player of the Week. King Tut, you got anything else for us?
I think that'll be all. Everybody just get out and enjoy some basketball this week, because like y'all said earlier, because I started to say something about it, you said things were heating up, and as ironic you say that on a 15-degree morning, but they are. It's getting that time of basketball season right now.
Yeah, it's hot in the gyms. It sure is. That's and right. Lots of good basketball to be played all over the area. So go out and support the kids as they play their ways to the regionals. We'll move on from the Dirks Outlaws now. We'll go to the Horatio Lions. The Horatio Lions beat Foreman this week 56-49, then lost to Cutter 63-28. Lady Lions, they beat Foreman 78-28 and lost to Cutter 54-43. So 1-1 weeks for both the Lions and the Lady Lions. And but man, we had some outstanding scores there, Tony.
Yeah, absolutely. Horatio, Zach Smith had 32 points and 5 rebounds versus Foreman. You know, the Lady Lions are always, they're always going to be tough. I mean, we know Cutter, they're 18-0, They play them within 11. Y'all played Horatio once. Is that
yes?
Pretty good ball game.
Yeah,
yeah. Four teams from your conference make the playoffs.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think four get into the regional.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, you know, just Lady Lions and another young team that's going to be really good in the future.
Mm-hmm.
9-5 on the year so far.
Yeah, and when you look at the Lady Lions, they had a Bella Baker, who's been a player of the area before. Actually, our initial one, I believe.
Maybe.
She had 16 points against Foreman, and Brooklyn Lockerbie against Cutter had 10. So, you know, and those kids are all young, too. Yeah. That's one of the biggest the things about that you see with that's prevalent throughout most of the teams in this area is that they have young players
yeah.
that are leading the way. So they're just going to get better as they move forward. And, you know, so this week, Horatio has three games. They're at Murfreesboro tonight. Thursday, they'll be at Mountain Pine, and then Friday at Spring Hill. Actually, Mountain Pine is at Horatio. I said that. So two games away, one game at home this week. Tony, who you got for the Horatio State Bank Lion Player of the Week this week?
I think we're going to go with the aforementioned Zach Smith, 32 points and 5 rebounds versus the Gators.
What a performance.
Yes.
Yeah, great performance by Zach Smith. Congratulations to him for being the Horatio State Bank Lion Player of the Week. We move on. We're going to move on to the Foreman Gators. And the Foreman Gators, a tough week this week for both the Gators and the Lady Gators. After beating Horatio in a tournament in conference play, they lost to Horatio 56-49 and lost to Caddo 67-41. Lady Gators lost to Horatio 78-28 and then lost to Caddo 46-31. So, you know, tough week for the Gators and the Lady Gators, and it doesn't look like it's going to get a whole lot easier this week.
No, they host Cutter on Tuesday, and then they have to travel to Murfreesboro on Friday.
Yeah.
So. Hey, one thing I'd like to mention there that I didn't mention during the Outlaw segment, but it affects the Gators and the Outlaws. The snow out that was rescheduled has been rescheduled for the 27th, which will be next Monday. So I'll get that out there because it'll be before we broadcast another one of these. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the 27th, Horatio and Foreman, I mean, not Horatio.
Derrick travels to
Dirks
Foreman.
And Foreman, they travel to Foreman.
Yeah.
And that'll be Monday the 27th.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Monday the 27th. So Cutter this Tuesday, Friday at Murfreesboro. Let's talk about last week, though. Horatio State Bank's Gator Player of the Week, Tony?
Mallory Abercrombie, 19 points versus Caddo, had a really good ball game. And again, we've mentioned her name a number of times on the podcast.
She's one of the that's not her first win there.
She's a regular.
Yeah, she's a regular, and congratulations to Mallory on that.
Moving on.
You ready to move on?
Yeah, let's go to the Eagles, man. I can't wait.
Let's go. Eagles, 12-10, beat Mount Ida 74-53 and Magazine 64-33, lost to Lamar 80-59. Lady Eagles with a big week last week. They're 3-20 now. They beat Mount Ida 49-45, and they beat Magazine 69-61, lost to Lamar 62-13. So,
but you know, the thing about the Lady Eagles is, I think since the Christmas break has been over with, they've now won three games. You know, going up into the Christmas break, they hadn't won any, and now they have won three pretty recently. So they're starting to put it together.
Yeah, doing really good, and the. You know, of course, we can always talk about Dylan Loving and what he does, good week for the Lady Eagles, and you know, this week tonight they're going to play at Lavaca, and then Friday they're going to be at Mansfield. Is it Lavaca or Lavaca?
Depends on who you talk to.
Okay.
Game with Mansfield's at home.
Yeah. Game. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
And who you got for the Union Bank of MENA Eagle Player of the Week, Tony?
Well, a young lady who we know really well, who has kind of carried them all year, and it's Gwen Bradshaw, and congratulations to Gwen.
All right. Congratulations, Gwen, on being the Union Bank of MENA Eagle Player of the Week. So Anything else on high school basketball, guys?
I think there's some awards to give out.
We do have a few more awards. We have the Toad Thumper Lures Girls Player of the Week, and that award is going to
Gwen Bradshaw of the Causatown River
Eagles.
All right,
congratulations, Gwen. You're the Toad Thumper Lures Lady Player of the Week for the area.
Quite a catch to get that toad thumper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. And then you've got the Horatio State Bank Boys Player of the Week.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Caden Lindley. Caden, much like we highlighted Landry during the Leopards segment, Caden had a really good three games. Although the Leopards lost all three games, Caden played really well. He won our Leopard Player of the Night over at Nashville. And so we're going to go with Caden Lindley on that.
Nice.
All right. So Caden Lindley, the Horatio State Bank Player of the Area. And for the Adarose Designs, Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, Player of the Area this week, it is
Zach Smith, the aforementioned Zach Smith, who had huge game versus Foreman with 32 points.
Mm. Congratulations to Zach Smith for being the Adarose Designs Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air Player of the Area.
I love it.
And we'll get you your T-shirt. And Tuttle, don't let me forget to get that other one. Now I got to get you. So
yeah, we're at a deficit of T-shirts right now.
We talked about forgetting it, and then immediately went out and forgot it.
That's when you get paid for
a self-fulfilling prophecy.
I wear a 4X.
Yeah. You got your 4X.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant you were giving me one.
Oh, no.
Radio guy.
I gave you.
His podcast shirt on today.
What do you mean? I gave you one. Yeah, you got it. So,
oh, man.
So here we go.
Yeah.
That wraps it up for high school basketball.
That's right. And I kind of want to wrap it all up with talking about a sponsor that we have, UA Cossetot.
Yeah.
They have an amazing website, www.cccua.edu. You can learn all about their athletics department, their programs of study that are offered at UA Cossetot, all about employer resources, state scholarships and grants for study, as well as all their facility rentals, which is something that you don't really think about until you go and check it out. If you have some sort of educational process, you can put all reservation requests and inquiries by contacting the facility reservations office at 870-584-1462 or email reservations@cccua.edu. Facilities on campus available to students, staff, and community groups with the process to promote educational stuff. So if you have whatever, the sky's the limit. Just give them a call if you think you can use one of their facilities to educate, a team that you have or prospective employees or anything like that. They can handle that. So reach out to them. And speaking about their athletics department earlier, you can go to uacossetotcolts.com and follow along with their schedule. In fact, the day we're recording this, which is the 20th, they have a game over in West Memphis against ASU Mid-South. And then on Thursday, that's this Thursday, Southeast Arkansas College is coming to the historic Bank of Locksburg Gymnasium over in Locksburg. And then Southern Arkansas University Tech is coming next week to the historic Bank of Locksburg Gymnasium as well. So plenty of good games to look forward to for the UA Cossetot Colts. And you can support them by going to their website, UACossetotColts.com, following them on all of your social medias and making sure that you take the time to hit up that amazing gym that they play at over in Locksburg and just shout out. You can give them support that way and watch them play, man.
I actually hit that amazing gym a few times when I played over there.
Did you? You hit it?
Yeah, I actually hit the wall.
Yeah, exactly. Now, we appreciate them so much. UA Cossetot, all you need to know, you can go to www.cccua.edu. I think we move on. Let's get a little national. What do you think? Or no, we stay still in the state of Arkansas, right?
If these guys want to talk about it.
What are we going to talk about?
I got something to say about it.
I see something about some
Razorback basketball.
Yeah, Razorbacks basketball.
Catching a lot of heat right now, the Razorbacks and Coach Cal. I just want to give my opinion on it. And that is, he started from scratch, had one player that returned, and that's after he entered the portal. and then came back. Other than that, and you can't even say they rebuilt the team. They bought a team. And I think sometimes that's hit or miss. And we've missed this year. I mean, what we who we pay and get in there next year may be a whole different story. But right now, I can't blame it on coaching, maybe recruiting and who you get in. And, I don't know, Greg.
Well, my heart bleeds for him because I sometimes you get something and you don't know what you're going to get. You know exactly what you're going to get with Coach Cal. And I know now it's legal, but I mean, you just know. And
he's being bashed pretty hard, and I think he's probably one of the still one of the top 10 coaches in the nation, I would think. And it's just who you put together on the team. And like I say, right now we don't have a lot of chemistry on the court.
Is there anybody else that's winless in the conference? Are they tied with somebody at the bottom, or?
I'm not even sure.
And what are you going to have to do the rest of the way to make the NCAA tournament? Are you going to be able? You know, there's so many teams in the SEC that's going to make the NCAA tournament. I don't think you got to be 500, but I do think you got to win. I don't know, 7-8 ball games, something like that,
or the SEC tournament.
Well,
I mean,
okay.
And they'd leave a couple of teams out of the SEC tournament. Everybody didn't even get in.
Right.
I don't know if that's still the same or if everybody plays in it now. Well,
I don't know. Everybody in the country's in the SEC now.
So, that's right.
They or the keep Big adding Ten. Teams, you know. I mean, they're going to have a 2-week-long tournament if they add everybody in there. You know, the thing about Arkansas basketball with me is that you buy a coach, you buy a team, there are certain expectations. You know, you spend $20 million for this, it's got to work a little bit better. I'm getting on one guy, and you could talk about other ones. To me, other than Boogie Fland, everybody is underperformed. So I'll say that to start with. John L. Davis, I'll talk about him because he's one of the main – He's one of the highest paid NIL players in the nation. And you know, he did well at Florida Atlantic. He got him to the Final Four, you know. But he has done nothing to show me that he's worth $1.8 million, supposedly. I don't know that number for sure, but that's what I hear. You know, and I think that you know, if you're going to buy players, you got to buy players that you know are going to perform, not guess that they're going to perform. No.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. I've got a friend back home. His name's Joe Henson. He lives there in the Kanawha Valley where we grew up just a mile from each other. He's a big UK fan. And when this all went down, he told me, he said, they don't know what they're getting. And so far, he's been right. Kentucky probably ought to send Arkansas a Christmas card thanking them or something, because Pope has done a great job at UK.
But, you know, to say that Arkansas didn't know what they were getting, anybody with a coaching –
Well, they knew what they were getting.
Well, anybody with a coaching position open at that time, they would have made the same move, you know, if they could pay
him. Well, if you had the money to do
it. If they could pay him.
Yeah. Yeah, Marshall had a coaching position open, but they couldn't hire Calipari.
Well, and it's a disappointing thing. It's all about money. I mean, we talked about that when it happened. You know, we knew somebody was going to do it. Arkansas has to be the first person to do it, the first team to do it in basketball. I mean, they bought a coach. They bought a team. You see how it's working out. You know, and before the end of the year, it may work out great. I think they've got enough athletic ability that they could go undefeated the rest of the way.
Right.
But, you know, I don't see that happening. Realistically, that's not going to happen. But I don't think it has to do with athletic ability. I think it has to do with two things. It has to do with coaching. And those players, as happened with Musselman last year, were trying to make a name for themselves so they could move on.
Coaching and chemistry.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. So, anybody else got anything on the Razorbacks because I'm ready to move on.
Yeah. I'd say just generally, right? If you start spending all this money with a bunch of different players for that are basically playing together for the first time in a year, there's no chemistry there, you know?
Well, I mean, and there's something to be said for playing for the name on the front of your shirt. That, you know, in high school, you know, there's rivalries because there's kids that love DeQueen, there's kids that love Derrick's, there's kids that love Nashville, and they play harder because of the name on the shirt. These kids now that are just being bought and paid for, they don't care anything about the name on the shirt. They're one and
dollar signs. Well, it's a lot more about the name on the net shirt.
Yeah.
who might pay me more next year?
Right, right.
That's right. That's exactly right.
It's crazy.
And the money has just ruined college athletics, and that's just what I think.
Well, because that was the one thing I was going to mention. The other side of it is, you know, you have somebody that you get, you work them, you get them to where they're a decent player. Then the next thing, somebody's coming to take them from you.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you either got to up their money, you know, unbelievable amounts, or let them go.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's both sides of it. And essentially what it's going to do is what we talked about earlier. I don't know about basketball and football. It's going to be that you're going to have those 32 to 48 teams that play in a separate league other than NCAA.
Yep.
And they can pay whatever they want. They can do whatever they want to do. And it's coming sooner rather than later. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be – I mean, because they can't – you know, it's Pandora's box. They open the box, you can't shut it on the money anymore.
Mm-mm.
You know,
this is it.
You know, at one time, if they'd have done what they should have done, they could have said, okay, here's the deal is, you know, you can pay up to $250,000. Just use that number, you know. So let's just say, Arch Manning gets $250,000. Well, he's going to play his year or two, and he's going to move on. But now you got players, you know. There's, you know, like Carson Beck. You know, he left a team where did they win two championships while he was there? One. I know they won one championship, but well, he was at Georgia for an incredible string of. You know, wins and things, including national champions. You know, so he gets hurt. He goes into surgery. He takes a pay at Miami that he wouldn't have got if he went pro.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I mean, so you got a quarterback that quarterbacked a team for 3 years to really better than what they've done in, or maybe the best they've ever done. I mean, it's close to it, if not. And then, so you just let him go.
No, they can't do it now. But if they could have figured out a way to cap it at the beginning, at least there would be no incentive to go somewhere else.
That's right.
I mean, Carson Beck is going to the University of Miami and being paid what they say, $4 million NIL.
That's crazy.
And rookie quarterbacks, one of them playing for the Commanders. You know, he's making more than Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels are probably going to make in what they're – 3 years, is that what the rookie contract is?
That's so, right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy.
I think it's 4 years, and then you got an option on the fifth year. The team has an option. So.
Oh, man.
Anyway, well, so
yeah, let's move on.
Move on to the national title game tonight.
Yeah.
Or last night. It'll be
can
over
play
by
the
time.
Notre Dame fight song?
Huh?
You want me to play that?
You can play whatever you want. you can play. I don't like any of them. So, I hope, my best thing would be is if both teams lost and they just quit.
But both teams lost and quit, huh?
Yeah, they don't have that. So since Tyler picked Notre Dame, I'm going to be an Ohio State Buckeye fan, which just galls me.
Yeah.
I care not about who wins at all. Does anybody in here care who wins?
I actually do care.
Yeah.
You know, growing up in West Virginia and being a Marshall fan, going to Marshall University, I was always treated as a second class, a stepbrother, a little brother by WVU. And then across the river, about 30 miles from my house, is Ohio. And the WU people were treated as second class, little brother to Ohio State. So arrogant bunch is all I'll say. Mm. And I would love for Notre Dame to... Even though I'm a big Notre Dame fan, I'm not a big Notre Dame fan.
So you think Notre Dame's less arrogant than Ohio State? Or you, it's just well, they were arrogant to you.
Yes. I mean, there was nobody – there was no Notre Dame fans in West Virginia to be arrogant to me, but there are plenty of Buckeye fans.
I was going to say, Tony, as a pastor, is rooting for touchdown Jesus.
Yeah. I wouldn't know about that. But you know, my point is just try to move up the totem pole.
Mm-hmm.
So get second place. Doesn't really matter because Tuttle's buying our dinner anyway.
Yeah.
So, now you got the NFL Super Bowl.
Is this for dinner too?
I don't know what that's for. We didn't ever say that.
Because only two of us have a chance.
I didn't remember us saying that. But Tony's got the Chiefs and Bills left. Jeff's got the Eagles and Commanders left, which, you know, I was playoff games this weekend. Y'all's thoughts? Any thoughts?
Some good games.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. I think right now the Commanders may be the hottest team in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether they're going to be able to take that mojo into Philadelphia and win there, it's a tough place to play. Weather's going to have a lot to do with it. But I would not sleep on the Commanders being in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And Jaden Daniels is probably the best rookie quarterback in a while. I don't know how far I'd have to go back.
And making $3.5 million a year less than Carson Beck.
On the AFC, you know, and I've got it down here. You know, I sit there and watched the Texans, and I was rooting for the Texans. You know, I like an underdog story. I'm not a big Houston Texans fan, but and I'm just watching my Facebook feed while this game's going on, and there are people just saying this is rigged, this is scripted, this is Kansas City's going to win this ball game, and I try to step back. But those two roughing the passer calls were ridiculous. And I made the comment on my brother had said something on Facebook, and I responded to his post by saying, I remember when Roethlisberger played, and he basically had to have bone showing through skin to get a roughing the passer call. And they just touched Mahomes. So I don't know if it's much as a Kansas City Chiefs bias or it's a Patrick Mahomes bias, but the Chiefs are benefiting from it.
Well, it all started with Brady. I mean, you know, Brady got those calls too.
Yeah.
So,
well, I think one of the things about it is there's two different things. If you want to compare Roethlisberger to Mahomes, and I'll say Brady the same thing. Ben Roethlisberger's biggest asset was his size, and he would take the stuff and still get the hits and stuff. And to me, the difference is Mahomes or Brady, either one, what they're doing is getting rid of it so quickly, and especially Mahomes. You know, you can think you got him, and he throws it away, and then they hit him, and they didn't hit him that hard. Here's the deal.
Well, but the one, he took off running.
Yeah.
He's out of the pocket,
and
he's dancing around and doing his thing, and then he slides at the last minute. Two Texans hit each other.
I was gonna say, they hit each other on that one.
And they call roughing the passer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, whatever. If you want to start talking about that, I can sit here and talk about that a lot.
Well, once a quarterback becomes a runner, the roughing the passer stuff ought to be off.
They put panties on them a long time ago. So that's
and I can't say wife beater.
Yeah, yeah. That's a different deal. I mean, you see that all the time. They take off running and they slide, and if somebody touches them, they call it.
Yeah, once a quarterback's deemed a runner, the rules ought to change.
They should. I agree. If they're going to be able to run the football, if you want to make them stay in the pocket, and if they're going back to pass, they got to throw it, then you can protect them. But if they get out of the pocket and they start running their 10 yards down the field, I don't care if they slide or not.
Yeah.
I
want to touch on one of those quarterbacks that played yesterday. And I don't know if y'all saw the press conference after the game, the Ravens game. But on Facebook and stuff, all social media, there's lots of memes about Mark Andrews, the tight end. You know, he had a rough game.
He did.
And in the press conference, Lamar Jackson,
He had his back all the way.
Oh, he did.
I mean, he said, sure did. You know, I'm hurting for him as bad as he's hurting. You know, it's on all of us. It's not him. And, hey, I mean, let's be honest. He probably cost him a chance. You know, a fumble on a reception and then the drop for the two-point conversion.
There was a play earlier in that game, though, had Jackson hit Andrews in stride. He'd probably went for a touchdown. He had to reach back for it. He couldn't quite get it. And Jackson had a pick and a fumble in that game as well. Am I right?
Yeah. The pick ended up not hurting them because they didn't get points off of it. But, hey, that's what a leader does. And he stepped up. He had his teammates back. But hats off to Lamar Jackson for that.
Absolutely. But the old thing about not being able to win big games with him is going to continue until he wins one.
Well, and I've said, you know, I told my buddy the other night when we were talking about it the night before, I said, you can look at him in a cold weather game and tell it affects him.
Yeah.
He does not like cold. I mean, he's bundled up. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they'd let him go out there with that big coat on and play, he probably would.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, there's nobody that dislikes the Baltimore Ravens more than me. And I sit down there, walk up to my dad's, and we're going to watch the game together. And he says, who are you rooting for? And I know he's expecting me to say Buffalo. And I look at him, I say, whoever can beat Kansas City. That's who I'm rooting for. I want the team that can beat Kansas City. And if that had been Baltimore, that would have been all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think the Chiefs-Bills game, looking at what I know about the Chiefs-Bills games is the game. You know, I think whoever wins that game would probably be a favorite to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I would say that whoever wins the game will be the favorite. But, man, the Commanders just took the Lions to the woodshed.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kansas City kind of got off to a slow start as well. You mean they get that week off, and I know every NFL team wants that week off. They wouldn't trade spots with any of the other teams to not have the week off and have to play that first week because you heal some things up. But, man, it seems like that those NFL teams that don't play for a week really come out of the gate slow.
Well, and especially Kansas City because they didn't play any of their starters the last week.
That's exactly right.
Their last game was the 25th of December.
Yeah.
So you're looking at 18th, 20, you know, you're looking at
– I wish they had played the week before.
That's 3 weeks. Yeah. That's 3 weeks, though. I mean, that's a long time once you start playing. But I think that there are when we made our picks, one of the reasons I picked Detroit was because I didn't think Kansas City could win three in a row. But I also, didn't realize Detroit was going to have 11 other – I think they got 16 starters on injured reserve.
Something like that.
Yeah.
They got a lot of injuries.
And their defense has really been decimated by that. And I think that's the biggest reason why you see the Commanders do what they did. But, man, the Commanders are really hot. They look good. Jaden Daniels looks good. He's just laughing, having a good time.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty cool.
And I don't think the Eagles are so unstoppable that the Commanders can't go in there and beat them.
No.
I agree. I mean, the Eagles game – when it started and, you know, they trailed 7-0 early, they went down with such ease and scored and then scored again. I said, this is going to get out of hand. But they just can't put anybody away.
No.
I mean, because they're going to rely so much on that running game that if you don't have the chunk plays, as they call them nowadays, passes down the field, you're not going to score in a hurry.
You could tell they went into that game thinking that they could beat the Rams without Jalen Hurts. I'm not going to say without him, but without
him throwing for 300 yards.
Or without him running for 150.
Yeah.
But they couldn't do it. They were not going to beat the Rams had they not ran, hurt some, put him in some peril. They were not going to beat the Rams. And just imagine if we had a Rams-Commanders NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
Who would have saw that coming?
Nobody.
How long has it been since the Commanders have been there? I heard them.
In the 90s, I think.
Like 91, maybe, yeah, 92, I something so. Like
that. They've never been there.
Yeah, the Commanders have never been there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it – what was his name? Doug. He played for Grambling. Doug.
Oh, Doug Williams.
Was he the quarterback when they won the Super Bowl?
He did win the Super Bowl.
He did, but that was – I think that was back in the 80s, though.
I really?
Yeah. I think – and I could be confusing my eras, but I think you're more into the Mark Rippon.
Okay. It may have been Mark Rippon at that.
Yeah.
That's probably who it was.
Yeah. I remember watching Doug Williams play the Broncos, and the Broncos were in their Super Bowls in the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, anything else y'all got y'all want to talk about before we close the show down this week?
I don't think I've got anything
yet. Yeah, I think we covered it all.
Okay. Well, we didn't talk about hockey yet, but it doesn't really start counting until April when the playoffs start.
Mm-hmm.
So we can do that during baseball season.
And then you can take a week off and they'll start back up in July.
Well, the Dodgers are really making baseball interesting by signing everybody.
Yeah. Apparently they figured out they're trying to be the Yankees of the 2025.
I tell you what, 20s. Man, baseball's just.
Yeah.
If you are a fan, unless you're a Yankees fan or a Dodger fan or maybe one or two more teams. It is January, and I know the Pittsburgh Pirates have absolutely no shot of even making the playoffs.
Yeah.
How can that be good for baseball for 20 fan bases to feel that way?
Padres have got in on that buying players thing, but they're in the wrong division for it to pay off. I mean,
yeah,
they're doing it, but they're playing second fiddle to the Dodgers.
Yeah, they're petitioning to get moved to the NL Central.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing about it is I wonder my question is when they're going to start paying high school players. Yeah. I mean, because that's basically what it looks like.
You know they don't.
Well, some places may. But I think that I think that's what it's all become about. It's about whoever's got the most money.
Yeah.
And just throwing money at it. And you know who pays for that? The fans.
Yeah.
Because if you're a fan of the Dodgers, you know what they're going to do. Eventually, they're going to raise prices somewhere. It may be on popcorn or it may be on tickets but it may be the fees. That's what I like.
Did you see where the Rangers have basically went to streaming their games now?
Huh?
Yeah. You're going to have – I don't even remember the what the app or whatever is called, but it's going to be $100 and some dollars a year to watch the Rangers. They're not going to be on Bally or Southwest Arkansas.
So they're just going to do their own thing.
Well, I'm not sure. It's the same thing that the Stars do. The Stars are free. The Rangers aren't going to be free.
My team will probably stream on TikTok when it's finally banned.
The Pirates are streaming on the Comedy Channel.
Well, I think it's probably went down far enough. We can probably shut it down. We've had a good week. Lots of basketball talked about. Just want to congratulate everybody, all the winners this week. We want you to remember the Dirks versus Cutter game as our DeQueen Motorsports game of the week. We thank all our sponsors for all they do every week. We thank all the coaches and all the people helping us out. Especially want to call out Jim Cross for what he does for us for Ashdown. And most of all, we want to talk about the kids.
Absolutely.
Thank you for just letting us watch you play and caring about the name on the jersey, not your name. I think that really works out well. And we appreciate y'all. And everybody have a good week. We'll talk to you next week. We'll see you then.
See you next week.
See you next week.